are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
We're in a series that we're calling Show Up. And so me and a couple of the elders met a couple months ago to kind of craft this and look at it. And we first looked on week one at where God has shown up to us. Now, that's not exclusively in week one. That continues to show up throughout the series, that God shows up when we seek him. He can be counted on. He's faithful. And so the idea overarching all of this is that God has shown up to us and for us. What will our response be? And so we talked also about community, about showing up in community to other people around us, showing up with our authentic selves. And today we're going to look at this idea of growth, of growing up, and that we have to show up kind of to grow up, because growing and maturing doesn't happen by itself, that it requires something of us. Now, the danger in this is that depending on the church context you grew up in or didn't grow up in, the danger is that you could potentially hear today that, oh, in order to get God to love me, I have to show up and perform. Or in order to get God to do something for me, I have to show up and do something for him. I want to make sure that we put a pin in that very quickly. Are there requirements of us in growth? Absolutely. But that's not a requirement of God's grace. He loves us unconditionally. We can't earn it. We can't perform our way into it. So my hope is that today isn't something that becomes a burden for you, that you walk out of here going, gosh, we shouldn't go to church anymore. Like, that's a lot. Like, I feel like somebody just put something on us. My hope is that as we explore God's word and explore the scriptures today, that we see that God has something for us, and that today is actually freeing and liberating. That as we see that what God has for us in maturity is actually something that is freeing, and it builds a relationship, doesn't create a burden. So I love that whoever's up here usually says this every week. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love for you to grab one. There's one at the connection corner you can grab as you leave here today. We want to make sure that you have a Bible. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 5 today is where we'll be. So we're going to be in the Old Testament exploring the story. Now, one of the things I love, this is going to sound weird, but one of the things I love actually about preaching and communicating is that it forces me into a position, because I do believe like we should handle God's word properly, but it forces me to dig into the text and to study maybe on a deeper level even. Now, some of you may be going, so you don't read the Bible if you don't preach? Like, is that what you're saying? Like, no, that's not the case. But when I begin to preach and to kind of to study, to communicate, it does force me into a different position and a posture of studying God's word. And every time I do that, I'm reminded of how rich it is. I'm reminded of how, as we will invest ourselves, as we show up to God's word, that he reveals himself to us. And hopefully you have that same experience today as we explore this text. So 2 Kings chapter 5. Starts like this. We're introduced to this character named Naaman. Now, Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, this story, I'd heard of this story, but the story was kind of new to me. So I had to dig in myself. And the first thing I noticed was in the beginning, I had to look up, like, tell me about Aram. What is this country? Like, who is this guy Naaman? Where is he from? Now, Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. Now, Aram was like a neighboring country to Israel. And neighbor, not always a friendly neighbor. A lot of times they were at war with Israel. And so this wasn't why we're reading a story about this guy named Naaman, who was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. This was actually someone who was in opposition to Israel. And so this kingdom did not surrender to Yahweh, God, they had lots of other gods. And so already we're introduced to this character from the very beginning who is in opposition to God, which then made me scratch my head a little bit, because the text also says that because through him, through Naaman, the Lord had given victory to Aram. Is that puzzling to anybody else but me? That God used someone who had not surrendered to God to bring victory against his own people. What? Here's the point. Sometimes God, and it's this little mystery how he works, and don't ask me to explain it. Don't meet me down here afterwards. Go explain to me how that works. I don't know, but God is so big and so much in charge, he will use anyone and everyone to make his point, to bring people to him, to bring people into relationship with him, even someone who wasn't surrendering to God as their authority. God was using Naaman, and Naaman didn't even know it. He was a powerful man. He was a strong man. The text talks about how when he would walk around, that people were like, oh, hey, there's Naaman. He's had a lot of victories. Like, he's kind of a big deal, but he also had a secret. The secret was revealed already. He had leprosy. You can read on your own accounts leprosy and how big of a deal it was. It was one of those things. It wasn't good. It was really, really bad. Like, not just a skin, like a rash. Like, I went to the dermatologist. They said, put this lotion on. Like, no, like, because I have to put this lotion on because it's not, fingers are falling off. Like, it was that bad. Like, leprosy was a really big deal. And this guy was like being eaten alive. And here's the point. We can look really strong on the outside and be sick on the inside. Look at your neighbor and go, you look really good today. Do it. Go for it. Go for it. Look at your neighbor and say, you look really good today. Come on. Are you two playing along? Yeah. So I'm trying to help you out, man. Like, right? Now you look back at that person and go, really? Because you look sick. No, don't do that part. Don't do that part. See, here's the thing. Naaman looked really good on the outside. Some people even wanted to be like him. They're like, oh man, I wish I could fight like him, as strong as him. But he had a secret. Inside, he had a problem. Inside, he was dying. Inside, there was something going on that other people couldn't see. We talked a couple weeks ago about community and showing our real selves. Let's just be honest. There's some of us here this morning. We look good on the outside, but inside, we need healing. Inside, we are fractured, broken, and maybe even like Naaman, being eaten alive. I've got good news. I've still got more time, so let's read the text. The text goes on. Now, bands of raiders from Aram, remember that was the neighboring country that wasn't always good. Bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. They had kidnapped this little girl that was now living in Naaman's house. That's really what had just happened. Let's be honest. Naaman's crew kidnapped a girl, and she's living there, this little Israelite girl. And she says to Naaman's wife, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, because he would cure him of his leprosy. This little girl, we don't know her name. All we know is that she was a hostage. She was kidnapped. Picture your favorite Liam Neeson movie, add her to the mix, right? She's in there. She is stuck. But even in that space, she sees someone in need. And she believes what he doesn't even believe in that moment. If he could only see my master, if he could only be touched by God, he could be healed. Let me ask you this. Are there people around you that just need a whisper of hope? Are there people around you that just need to be reminded of hope? That just need to hear that God can make a way? Because this little girl demonstrated a crazy, incredible amount of courage. Imagine that. She's a hostage. She's been kidnapped, and she has the courage to speak up to her hostage taker and to say, I think I know a way for him to be healed. So Naaman hears this, his wife must tell him, and he hears, and he's desperate enough. Naaman goes to his master and told him what the girl of Israel said. So Naaman goes to the king. He goes to his boss and he said, hey, boss. And his boss is like, hey, easy, don't get too close. Yeah, what's going on? And he says, this little girl that we kidnapped, she says that maybe there's a way for me to be healed. So the king says, by all means, don't touch me. By all means, please go, the king of Aram replied. And here, I'm even going to send you a letter to the king of Israel. I'll send you a letter. So why don't you go talk to him? And Naaman left. And look at what he takes with him. It says, Naaman left with him, taking 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and, I think it's interesting, and 10 sets of clothing. I wonder if that's a statement about the leprosy. I wonder if that's a statement of how bad things were getting. That Naaman's like, we're going to need gold, silver, and I'm going to need a change of clothes. Several. It was only about 70 miles, so it was about a 2-3 day journey, but he takes with him 10 sets of clothes. Probably he's hiding, he's masking what's going on. He doesn't want anybody to see because he wants everybody to see what's going on the outside, but not what's happening on the inside. Scholars estimate that's well over $1 million he takes for a 2-day road trip. That's a lot. That's a lot. Naaman packs heavy and takes with him this letter. And after gathering all that stuff, he takes the letter, took it to the king of Israel. And the letter read this: with this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you because this guy needs help so that you can cure him of his leprosy. It's interesting that the king of this other country that had been worshiping other gods, even he knew he was limited and he was sniffing out. There's something about this king of Israel, because we've been beaten a couple times by them, and we shouldn't have been beat by them. So there's something about this God in Israel that must be, would you guys try this? Would you help maybe? King of Israel. His response is really interesting. Verse 7, as soon as the king of Israel reads the letter, he tears his robes and he says, who am I? Am I God that I can kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? Oh, I see. See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me? He thinks he's getting punked. He's like, oh, I see, this is a setup. We're gonna try to heal this guy, and then we're gonna fail, and then you're gonna point out that our God's not the God in charge. I see how this is. He didn't even pause for a minute to think that maybe God could heal his enemy. As I was reading the text this week, I just was struck by this fact, and I'm not putting you under the microscope. I'm just gonna tell you what happened in me. As I read this, I just wondered how many opportunities have I missed because I ignored God's power and thought about what I could do instead of what God could do. How many times have I looked at a situation and thought, oh, this can't happen. I can't do this. I can't solve this. And God's in heaven going, hey, real quick, you wanna talk to me about this? What are we doing here? Remember how I showed up here? And I'm like, careful. I got stuff I'm working on right here. Because that's what the king of Israel did. He completely ignored God's power. Instead, he just attributed to, we can't do anything and this is crazy. And he tore his clothes. And so it gets the attention of Elisha, the prophet. Elisha had been spoken to by God, and God was working through Elisha, but somehow the king neglected that. The king was not only ignoring God's power, he was ignoring the people around him that God had been working through. Elisha hears the story, and it says, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel was freaking out and tearing his robes, he sent him a quick note, a message. Why are you freaking out? Why are you tearing your clothes and your robes? Elisha then calmly, and I feel like the text in the whole story just kind of takes this calming turn in this moment, which is maybe a product of Elisha's relationship with God. Because the king's freaking out. He's mad. Naaman's freaking out. He's like, I'm losing a finger. Like, I can't give directions anymore. I can't point where to go. And that was funny, by the way. Anyway, so he's like things are bad. And, you know, Elisha's like, this isn't working, you know, or Naaman's like, this isn't working. And the king's freaking out. And Elisha just calms the scene. He says, tell him to come to my place. Have the man come to me, and then he's going to know that not only there's a prophet in Israel, he's going to know something even more. So Naaman, as desperate as he was, verse 9 tells us, Naaman went with his horses and his chariots and all of his gold and his silver and the clothes that he had left. He shows up like with a big party, a big parade. Like he's like, I'm Naaman, I'm here. Somebody told me you could fix this. Takes all his chariots and he stops at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha, then I love this. Elisha, he doesn't even move from in front of the television. He doesn't even get up. He sends a messenger to the door. Like, hey, there's somebody out here. Okay. Kind of creepy, like he's missing an ear, like, you know, skin's like, and he's like, yeah, I'm not going out there. Just tell him to do this. Tell him to wash himself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. What a simple, odd instruction. Things ever just seem like too easy? Ever have a moment where it's like, it can't be that simple? No, seriously? No, it's just, I was watching some people move some stuff one time, and which I was thankful because the stuff they were moving was really heavy and I was watching and I didn't want to help. But I'd walked up on this and they're trying to get this huge desk down this staircase. There was like 7 of them. This thing was like huge and enormous. And I happened to walk up on the scene and I was watching the bottom of the stairs. I thought, well, it looks like they need help, but that looks really heavy and I don't want to help. And then I walked up and I went, you know, if you guys turn this on its side, you could just lay it down and then scoot it on its top right down the stairs. And they all look at me like, Two minutes later, it was on its body, like on the bottom of the stairs. They're like, oh. Nobody had stopped to consider it may be more simple than what we make it. I wasn't the hero that day. I just happened to not want to work hard. And I was like, that looks heavy. Sometimes it's the little things. It's the simple things. But we don't want to do them. Naaman hears this and he freaks out. Naaman goes away angry and he said, listen, I thought surely he was going to come out to me and he was going to stand. He was going to call in the name of the Lord. He was going to wave his hand over that spot and cure my leprosy. He's like, I was expecting the parade and the spectacle, like for people to post on social media about my cure and for all of these things. And like, I called all these people in the news and everybody was here. I thought this was going to be a huge deal. I'm not doing that. I'm taking a bath. You know how many baths I've taken? I've taken countless baths. Like, I'm tired of taking baths. I'm not going to do it. And he goes away. And some of his servants, they're like, oh, this is not good. Like, this was kind of our last chance. They said, I thought that he would surely, Naaman said, I thought he would come out and do that. And he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm sorry, I lost my place for a second. He said, if I was going to go to a river, I'm not going to the Jordan River. I'm going to go to one of the rivers from our country, the Abana and the Pharpar and the rivers of Damascus. They're better there. Couldn't I wash and go there and be cleansed? Like, I would rather do that. So I'm not going to do this whole thing in the Jordan. And here's why, because growth a lot of times we want it fast and we want it quick. I want to microwave things in my life. I want microwave miracles. I want them now, I want them fast, and I want them cheap. I'll ask you a question. Have you ever had a microwave burrito? Right? Some of you are afraid to admit it, but we know. Like, have you ever had a microwave burrito? Yeah. Let me ask you a different question. Have you ever had a good microwave burrito? Not really. No, not really. Like, you'll try to convince yourself it's good, right? You'll try. You're like, well, I even bought the ones, the expensive microwave burritos. Yeah, it's still a microwave burrito, people. But there's some really good Mexican places in town. I probably shouldn't talk about this for too long because we're going to get hungry. But you have somebody take their time and right and make a good burrito or deep fry it and call it something else. And it's like, oh, this is really good, you know? Get the sauce on it that's been, sitting on the stove for a long time. There's a big difference. I want those microwave miracles, but that's not how God works. He often works through these slow little steps. And Elisha must have known that. Elisha must have known that Naaman was looking for the quick fix. It's like, I know you've taken baths before. Why don't you do this? 7 times, the River Jordan. Just try it. Naaman's servants, now we get back to them. Naaman's servants in verse 13, they went to him and said, look, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great and complex, would you not have done it? It's like, yeah, if he would have told you to like go slay a dragon and climb to the top of the castle and plant the flag and claim that land, would you have done it? He's like, yeah, I would have done that. He's like, great. Then why won't you do just the little simple things? I've done this in my own relationship with God. I'm like, wow, but I got to do this and this and this and this and this and this. What if it's about the little bitty things? What if it's about the small stuff? I've made no apology about saying this. I've sat with a counselor every 30 days for the last 15, 20 years, whether I think I need it or not. Great guy, super wise. He's helped countless people. I need wisdom in my life, and sometimes I got to pay for it, right? And so I go and I sit and I listen, and we've been together now long enough. A lot of times on the drive there, I've, fixed the head worms that I had because I've actually just did the thing that he told me to do the previous time. And so I get there and I'm like, I am doing better. But a couple times a year when I sit down, I'm like, sit down, you're going to earn the letters behind your name today. Like, this is like, this today's big. And a couple of years ago, I walked into his office and it was one of those days I was like, have a seat because I'm going to lay down and we're going to need the whole 50 minutes. And we start talking and I said, okay, here's the thing. I said, you remember that season a couple of years ago when I was going through that stuff? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, remember how big that was? He's like, yeah. And I said, remember how it was like this and this and this and it was coming in from every side? He's like, yeah. And I said, do you also remember like the growth? Do you remember what happened in my relationship with God, how it exploded and like I was leaning on God and experiencing his sustaining grace and all that? He's like, yeah, it was like so cool to watch. And he goes, why? And I said, because here's what I need you to do. I need you to figure out how to help me do that without all of the trauma that happened leading up to that. Go. And this wise man of God who loves the Lord, cares deeply for me. He just looked at me and he said, it doesn't work that way. It's not how it works. It's the slow, repeated, methodical rhythm of the little things over time develop and nurture the character in you so that you can sustain those things, so that you can face the next one and the next one and the next one. And I was wanting the microwave version. And he sat there and he reminded me, this is about regular, consistent patterns over and over and over. It's what Naaman received that day. Naaman, would you just do the little thing? Would you go down in the river? I've taken a bath. Would you go down and wash yourself 7 times? Are you willing to do that? Over and over and over consistently. He was desperate enough. And he goes down and he dips himself in the Jordan seven times as the man of God had told him. And one of the things I like and don't like about the word of God, and I got to be careful with this. Some of you are like, oh, did he just say he doesn't like the word of God? Let me just tell you, one of the things I like and don't like, I like how we get the word of God, but then sometimes I'm missing some pieces in between because we don't know what that moment was like down by the river as he's taking off his clothes, like everybody turn around, and he's getting in and he's washing. He's like, this is stupid. Like I've done this before. And he's good. There's one, that's two. Like, oh, why am I seven times? Are you kidding me? Why can't it be five? We don't know. Did it start to take after two? Was he starting to see progress after three or four? At six, was it still just sitting there? Like, we don't know. All we know is what happens next. He went down, he dipped himself in the Jordan seven times. And as the man of God had told him, his flesh was restored and he became clean like that of a young boy. It didn't say he did it five times and his flesh became clean as a young boy. It didn't say he did it six times or six and a half times. It says he obeyed. He did the consistent thing over and over and over. Does it say he did the consistent giant thing over and over? He had to perform this giant thing? All he did was he did the little thing seven times in a row. And as he did that, his skin was returned to that of a little boy. I wonder if the secret for growth for us is in our obedience. I wonder if the secret is for us in our growth and maturity is in the little things consistently being done over time. I'm gonna say a phrase and it's probably gonna make you giggle a little bit. Aging, I believe, is easy. Aging is easy. And some of you are like, oh, you haven't had, you know what my wife has. No, like you haven't had, really? You could say that? Listen, you have another birthday, you're aging. Every 365 days, you get older. But growing and maturing, that takes work. Because y'all know some 53-year-old people that are immature. Don't just point at me, there's others. But you know some people that are older, but they are not mature. I wanna be not just old, I wanna be mature. And maturity, we don't drift into maturity. We obey our way into it. No one drifts and trips into maturity. This guy that I sit with regularly, he didn't drift there. He didn't just one day end up mature and smart. It's consistent patterns, time after time after time, of him finding himself in God's word, of him chipping away at his own pride, at him humbling himself. This is a guy that speaks into me. And one of the things I love about him, we were together a month or so ago. He was telling me about the people that he's learning from. I was like, hold on. Like, you're still learning from other people? We don't drift into maturity. We obey our way into that, and we do the consistent little things regularly over time that God has asked us to do. We do the consistent little things regularly that God has asked us to do. Naaman does that, and he was healed. It says, then Naaman and all of his attendants, they went back to the man of God. So Naaman now is like, well, this Elisha guy, he needs to see what happened. Like, I need to show him this. So Naaman, all of his attendants, they go back to the man of God. I love this. We don't know how he ended up in front of him. If he just was like, if he's not coming out, I'm going in. But the text says, he stood before him and he said, now I know I used to worship these other gods. I'm from this other land, Aram. Like, I'm over there, and we worship these other gods. None of them could heal the stuff that I had going on. None of them could keep me from dying on the inside. But now I know there is no God in all the world except the God in Israel. If you want to put it in today's terms, this is where he got saved. This is where he turns his allegiance and his obedience to Yahweh, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He was like, I've seen something I can't unsee. Look at my skin. Like, this is amazing. Feel that. Oh, dermatologists would love this, right? It's like, I have seen something I cannot unsee. There is one true God, and he's in. And then he does this. He was like, so please accept this gift from your servant. We brought a bunch, bring the silver, bring the gold. Like, we're not taking this back. This stuff is heavy. Like, we want to give it to you. Like, this is for you. We need to pay for what just happened because this is amazing. And I love Elisha's response. Elisha's response is this: as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. Even though Naaman tried, he was like, no, I'm not taking it. And here's the principle. He was like, you can't buy this. You can't purchase God doing a work in you. He's going to do it in spite of what you do. So for some of you that may be sitting here thinking, okay, I know this ends. All right, sweetie, I'm going to be up early the next, you know, several days because I got to read more of the Bible. Like, and we got to sign up for more of those things, and we got to serve more, and we got to do more things so that we can get God to do these things for us. That's not it. Elisha was saying, you can't buy it. And he was foreshadowing Jesus on the cross. We cannot forgive ourselves. It's a work that only he can do. He paid the price. It wasn't free. Someone paid for it. But Elisha was foreshadowing, you can't purchase it yourself. And he's like, well, I got a bunch of other stuff going on. Like, I got to go back because I've got a job. Like, I'm fixed now. I got to go back to work. But here's what I'm doing. I'm going to worship this true God of Israel that just fixed me. Because here's what happens. As we grow and as we get into a relationship with God and we realize who he is, our faith grows and leads us into worship, not into what some of us have grown up in, which is transactions. Some of us have grown up in an environment where if I do this, then God will do this. And if I do this, God will do this. And we're twisting God's arm. Well, I guess I'll perform and I'll try these things and I'll twist God's arm to get him to do this. And Elisha was trying to communicate, we can't purchase it. Instead, once God does a work in us, our response is then simply this: to worship him and to declare him as Lord. So here's the challenge for us today. Naaman was given some clear instructions. You've got a problem. Here's a way to fix it. Do something little, consistent, regularly over time. And as you do that, you will build your relationship with God and he will restore you. That's what really was happening. So let's do this. Let's just try this. Let's pick a number. Oh, I don't know. There was a number in the Bible there. Seven. Let's just pick a random number, seven. Because that's what Naaman was asked to do. Wash yourself seven times. I'm not asking anybody to go home and take a bath seven times a day. That's not it. Instead, what I'm going to do is we're just going to take a minute here at the end of the service because I want us all to grow and mature. I want us to be mature believers in this community so that it leads other people to seek us out so we can give them godly wisdom and counsel so that one day they can receive the healing that God has for them. I think that's the point of this church. I think it's the point of all of our churches in this community. So why don't we do this? Why don't we just do some small, consistent, regular things over time to see how God might want to move in us? So I'm going to pray here at the end of the service, and here's what I'm going to challenge us to do. I'm going to challenge us. Actually, I'm not going to challenge anybody here. I'm going to ask God to challenge us. I want to do that. Because if I challenge you, you're mad at me. He challenges you, you can be mad at him, okay? So I'm going to let him challenge all of us. I'm going to ask God to challenge us to do something for 7 days. I don't know what it is. The challenge will be unique to every single one of us. So for some of us, there'll need to be things removed. And for some of us, there'll need to be things that are added. Not to earn God's favor, because we can't earn it, but to build a relationship with him so that we can grow, so we can show up to him and allow him to reveal himself and show up to us. So that's going to be my prayer. I'm going to pray that, and I'm going to leave about 30 to 40 seconds of space in there. And I will be quiet and let God hopefully just reveal himself to you on the thing this week that he wants you, me, us, to either chip out of our lives or add to our lives over the next 7 days. God, I love you. Lord, thank you for stories like this in your word that reveal healing, character, that reveal your heart, that reveal your desire to have a relationship with us. And Lord, we do want to grow. We don't want to just age. We want to grow and be mature. So Lord, I pray that right now in this little bitty space, in this moment, that you would just sneak in and reveal what it is you want for us individually, personally, uniquely, to either add or remove, to either add or subtract from our lives this week, so that we can grow in a relationship with you. Maybe be healed in some places that need healing, restored some places that need restored, built up some places that need to be encouraged or strengthened. Reveal that to us in this space right now. Lord, just like we saw this little girl have courage and these servants have courage to speak up, Lord, may we have the same courage this week to take on the thing that you've just put on our heart and our mind to grow up and to build a relationship with you this week. Just give us the courage to do that. And Lord, now our response to you is the same as what we saw in the text. We just want to worship you. Maybe not for what you've already done, what you're going to do this week, but what you've done in the past. Lord, we worship you. We respond to you. We surrender to you as our authority. It's in your name I pray.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.